Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson, and of course our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And Ryan and Dr. Dobson, today we'll be diving into the whole issue of sexual purity, and really we want to remind young adults why that is so important.
Well, I know we're going to focus on teens and young adults, but this message is for everyone. Sexual purity matters. And before we begin, to parents, you might want to listen to this one first before you play it for your young children. I think that might be wise.
That would be wise. But this is a program for young adults, and they need to hear it. And so if we're talking to people who have teenage sons and daughters, make sure that you do bring them into the room to listen. This message might even lead to some meaningful conversations between you and your son or daughter. You know, medical authorities are emphasizing today that sexually transmitted infections are increasing rapidly in this country and around the world. They're not just talking about HIV/AIDS, but also about 25 to 30 other infections that are prevalent today. So STDs are so pervasive that, speaking directly to young people, you will become infected unless you're in a mutually monogamous relationship with an uninfected partner. You may contract a virus that it possibly can be treated but may not be curable for the rest of your life. In the United States, 50% of sexually transmitted infections are occurring in young people between the ages of 15 and 24 years, even though they make up only a quarter of the U.S. population.
Well, I know they're even more at risk, Dad, because of the propaganda of the safe sex movement, and a lot of kids have bought into it. And I know our guest today is going to be able to lay out this message in a powerful way. We're talking about Joe White. I know I've said it before on this program, but he is one of the most influential people in my life. He is a great man. And he spoke some time ago to a room of more than 1,000 teenagers at a purity rally in Kansas that was hosted by our friends at KJIL.
As I remember it, Ryan, the station manager was having trouble explaining to his high school daughter how important it is to stay pure until marriage. And so he brought in Joe White to answer that question. And while he was at it, they thought it might be helpful to have him talk to about 1,000 other young people as well. And I'm anxious to share it with our listeners. This is really a wonderful message.
Well, Dr. Joe always hits a home run. Joe White is the founder and president of the well-known sports camp Kanakuk in Branson, Missouri, of which I know you're very familiar, Ryan.
I am. I spent time there when I was younger, and it was a life changer for me.
He is also the founder of Kids Across America, which is a camp dedicated to serving urban youth and inner city adult leaders.
He has a BA in biology from Southern Methodist University. He has several honorary doctorates and was also ordained by University Baptist Church. He's an avid speaker and author, writing such books as What Kids Wish Parents Knew About Parenting. That sounds kind of familiar, Dad. And Sticking With Your Teen.
Well, he and his wife, Debbie Jo, have been married since 1972, and Joe is a great friend of mine. He's been on our program several times before and just always has so much wisdom to share, especially to young people.
Well, Doctor, with that, let's get started as we hear Joe White speak to a group of young people and their parents in Kansas.
You guys are teenagers, man. I have got four of my own teenagers and now a couple of years older. And we've had the biggest blast in the last few years of my life. I've got two guys and two girls. My home is crazy. We don't have much furniture. We have a trampoline in my house with a basketball goal, pool table, ping pong table. Used to have a balance beam, uneven parallel boards. My house is just kind of a wild place. And my kids and their friends live at my house. And my probably best friends in this world, I have 15,000 kids who live with me in the summertime at a place called Kanakuk Camp, where I spend my life. And I love that place, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm here because I love kids, flat out. And probably, And probably the most memorable experience that I ever had, and this is exactly how it happened, was when my daughter was a freshman in high school, my first daughter, who's Jamie, and I mean, I am wild about my kids. My daughter was Jamie, and this great big guy named Josh had been sort of lurking around her. He was the center on our basketball team, and Josh was a neat kid. And I'd met him, and I liked him. But he was kind of checking out my daughter. And so Big Josh decides that he's going to ask my daughter to the prom. And I heard he was going to ask my daughter to the prom. And so he called her to ask her to the prom. And guess who answered the phone? Big Daddy. And you know what, guys? When you call a girl and you want to ask her for a date, who's the last guy you want to answer the phone? Big Daddy. Well, especially if he's like me and he likes to play around. So Josh calls and I answer. I said, hello. He said, hello. Now, folks, this is exactly the truth. He said, is Jamie there? And I said, what do you want? He said, I want to speak to Jamie. And I said, I know. What do you want with Jamie? He said, I want to ask her to prom. And I said, well, maybe you could ask her father first. And he said, could I ask her? He said really quick. He goes, could I ask her? And I said, no, I was thinking more like in person. And he's like, in person? And I said, in person. He said, I don't want to go out that bad. I said, Josh, good night, son. You're 6'5". You're the biggest kid in our high school. Surely you got the guts to come over and ask some old 40-year-old shriveled up old man, you know. Heck, man. He goes, okay. So Josh comes over. Now, you guys, he's a senior. And he's cool. And he's going to be taking this little freshman to the prom. So he had no problem coming over and standing in front of me to ask me to take her to the prom. Except I made a problem because I have got a friend who's 6'9", and he's one of my best friends, and his name is Stephen Moore. And Stephen is huge. He's one of the better basketball players in the country. And Stephen was in a black suit with a black tie with black sunglasses standing at the front door like he was guarding the CIA formula for Coca-Cola. And man, he wasn't smiling at all. And Stefan's very funny, but also is very intimidating. So Stefan's standing at the front door, and he's standing next to another friend of mine who's a soldier. He was in soldier gear, camo his face like he was going into battle. He had my son's deer rifle, and he was standing at parade rest by Stefan. Well, here comes Josh. Now, I got to tell you, girls, Jamie put me up to it. Because I'll tell you about Jamie in a minute. She's an incredible girl. But Jamie was filming. She was in the woods with a video camera filming. Josh comes to the front door. Stefan steps forward. And I mean, you should have seen this big kid back up because there's somebody bigger than him. He couldn't believe it. And Stefan steps forward and he says, Josh, his real deep voice. He says, Josh, he said, I hear you want to take Jamie to the prom. And Josh goes, yes, sir. And he said, Josh, Jamie's my little sister. And Josh goes, wow. He said, I had no idea, buddy. And Stefan says, are you going to kiss her? And Josh goes, no, sir. Josh says, I'm not going to even touch her. Hey, I shouldn't have done that. Guys, it's the hardest thing in the world to call a girl and ask her for a date. It scares the pudding out of you. Girls, if you turn us down, you are not nice. And it's true. You guys, dating is just wild. I mean, sometimes you just wonder, you know what, tonight I'm going to do something really crazy, and I don't know how many of y'all are brave enough to do this, but I'm going to ask you guys, a lot of you, one at a time, to come up here, and I'll call for you in a second, and I'm going to get you to sit in this chair. And I'm going to let you meet the five most incredible people you'll ever meet in your life, man. And they're going to talk to you about what I think is the most important thing you'll ever hear ever as a Christian. And that is about what happens when you date and you like the person you're with. You guys, I'm going to just ask you to come on up here right now. Now, I realize everybody's body can't move up here, but I speak to you very soberly when I say I want you to bring your heart up here tonight, because I'm going to give you something to smile about, not tonight or tomorrow night or next year, but for the next 75 years of your life. Because you guys, there is somebody over here. And man, I'm not going to overplay this, but I'll tell you what, pal, I'm not going to underplay it, because there's somebody right here that you are dying to meet. And guy, this girl is absolutely incredible. This is a girl who right now in this world is being built by God to be your bride. And man, I do weddings for my friends, and I stand up at the front with my friends, and I'll tell you, the most awesome sight, man, you'll ever see in your whole life, you can go around the world, is when you're standing at the front of this little church somewhere, and you've fallen in love with this girl. You don't like her. You'd die for her. And you're standing there, and the crowd's kind of watching because they want you to faint or something. I don't know what the deal is with weddings, but you're standing up there, and you're scared spitless. And the doors open, and every girl your wife has ever met starts walking down the aisle in dresses that are exactly alike. And you go, what are they dressed in, you know, chartreuse for? I mean, guys don't even care. You know, girls dream about this, guys, their whole life. And guys, you know, all we want to do is take the tuxedo back and go on our honeymoon, you know? And here they come. And then they stand over here all the way down the aisle. And then the door shuts. And fellas, you wait. Remember I told you, the door's open. And you'll see a sight. I'm not going to overplay it, but I'm not going to underplay it, that you'll never forget. And there she stands. It happened to me 25 years ago. Her name's Debbie Jo. I met her at SMU when I was playing football there. She was one of our cheerleaders. She was a fun girl. And I'm going to tell you something. Debbie Jo was a Christian. And SMU is a very social school. It's a big party school. Debbie Jo didn't drink. She worked with Young Life. She was a Christian youth worker. And I was head over heels backwards for this girl. And I wanted her to be the one who was standing in that doorway. And I don't know how in the world she fell for an idiot like me. But somehow, 18 months after we went on our first date, I put a little diamond ring in a Cracker Jack's box and put it down there by the surprises, you know, because I didn't know what she would do when I asked her to marry me. I was kind of scared she might turn me down. I hate to be rejected. And we were up on a 300-foot cliff on top of this mountain overlooking this gorgeous lake back in Missouri where I live now. And I said, hey, you want some Cracker Jacks? Pretty dumb line, isn't it? I don't know what to say. She goes, sure. So she starts eating the Cracker Jacks. Well, they're stale because I'd open the box, put the ring in, I'd seal it with rubber cement, and rubber cement has a nasty smell. The Cracker Jacks taste like rubber cement. So she's throwing it off the cliff. And I'm a football player. I can catch anything. And I grab it out of the air. This is a true story. My grandmom's diamond ring is in this box. And I said, hey, what about the surprise? She goes, oh, the surprise. Cool. So she opens it up, takes the surprise, and it falls out. And it was really pretty. And she looks at me, and I said, would you wear it for the rest of your life? I love you with all my heart, and I want to serve you till I die. And she put it on her finger, and it's still there. And I don't know what you've been hearing in the news lately or anything else, but I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of men in this world who not only wouldn't cheat on their wives, but they would die for their wife. And I'll die in her arms, man. I mean, this most incredible girl. And fellas, there is one of those that God has prepared for you. And I'm going to tell you one thing, guys. She's sitting here right here tonight. And she says, I'm worth waiting for. You're here. You're 16. You're dating somebody else. Or maybe you will be here in a couple of weeks. Or maybe 3 or 4 years. And all she's doing, guys, right now is saying, hey, I'm worth waiting for. And girls, you know, for you, it's the same story. There he is, and he is Mr. Wonderful. In fact, he's Mr. Right. My friend just asked his girlfriend to marry him. He rode in on a white horse into this football stadium. He had knight shining armor. She was up at the stand. She had no idea. He was out on the football field like Sir Lancelot, and he was spearing balloons and all this stuff. And then he rode over to the grandstands, and he off his spear, he gave her this wreath. And on the wreath was a diamond ring, and he proposed to her. It is unbelievably romantic. But I tell you something, ladies, it's better than the engagement. It's better than getting married. It's being intimately in love for a lifetime. And girls, God gave you a gift to give that guy. I can't tell you how important this is. God gave you a gift to give that guy, and that gift is you, man. It's the best wedding gift in the world. I didn't care about china or plates or dishes or silverware or nothing. I had a girl who saved herself for me. How honored do you think that makes me feel? There were tons of guys at SMU wanted to date Debbie Jo. Debbie Jo didn't drink. Debbie Jo didn't put out. Debbie Jo was waiting for me. Girls, we're worth waiting for. That guy is going to die for you is worth waiting for. And he sits over here tonight. He really does. He's somewhere in this world right now. And he says, hey, sweetheart, just wait, please. You may be in love as a junior in high school. Probably it's not going to go into marriage. You guys, 1 out of 1,000 high school relationships ended up marriage. Statisticians tell us we fall in love 7 times before we're married on the average. So if you have sex with everybody you love, your honeymoon is generally your 8th person. You guys, God gave you the gift of sex for your honeymoon and your silver anniversary and your golden anniversary. Sex is what you give to one person, man, and one person alone. It's your wedding gift that lasts for a lifetime. And he says, please wait. You know who's sitting over here? Guys, this is your little boy. And I hope this doesn't sound corny, but guys, my 2 best friends are my boys. One of them's a basketball player, one of them's a football player. I've been their trainer. I've shot over 1,000 hours worth of baskets with my basketball player. He and I've shot almost 100,000 baskets together. He shoots, I catch, and I throw them back to him. I'd do anything for my boy, Brady. It's humbling for me to tell you, but I'm his hero, you know. Brady would say that I'm his best friend. I'll tell you, he's my best friend. Cooper's a football player. He's 17. He's wild and crazy, but he likes to be with his dad. And after he plays a great football game and tackles people all over the field, he comes to the end of the stadium every time. He gives me a big hug. I mean, it's just the neatest thing in the world. It's sweaty, and he's a great big old kid. He grabs it. He looks for me when he runs off the field. He wants to hug his daddy. And, guys, I'm their hero. And I don't deserve that, man, but you won't either. But you're going to be your boy's hero. The other day, Cooper asked me how I treated Debbie Jo when I dated her. He wanted to know if she was pure. I said, Cooper, we waited till her honeymoon. I said, thanks, Dad. You guys, you're his hero. And girls, that little girl, one day, Courtney asked Debbie Jo, my little blonde daughter, she said, hey, Mom, how much did you drink in college? Kids ask you the hardest questions. Debbie Jo said, Courtney, I didn't. And girls, right then, that little girl decided the kind of girl she was going to be. And girls, someday your little girl is going to want to have a hero in you. And what they're saying is, please be my hero. You guys are high school seniors or junior high. He said, please be my hero. Be my hero now. You guys, your little boy is going to deserve the best. Wouldn't you agree with that, fellas? Wouldn't your little guy that you die for, doesn't he deserve the best? Fellas, my little girl, Jamie, and girls, maybe this will be an encouragement to you, but Jamie didn't date much in high school. In fact, hardly at all. Maybe it's because I scared the guys to death in high school. I don't know. And so she kind of withdrew in high school. And she always kind of wore baggy jeans and tennis shoes and a sweatshirt. And she didn't really get into the big dating scene and the beauty scene and the party scene and all that stuff because she knew there was only one guy that someday she was going to meet. And so she went to college first year, and you know, a lot of people were dating all the time and going out, and little Jamie really didn't that much because she really didn't get into that because she didn't want to date. She wanted to marry somebody for a lifetime, and she believed in her heart that her daddy was praying for this guy, which I did every night for almost 22 years, and she believed that guy was going to be the perfect match for her, and she was going to save herself, all of herself, not just her sex, but her whole body for this guy. 2 years of friendship with a guy named Andy Brainer, where she went to college, and he was the neatest guy on that campus. He was dating other girls, and he wasn't dating her, but she was his best friend. 2 years after they became friends. And this guy is awesome. I'll just tell you right now, he's the most awesome young man I've met in a long time. He looked in her eyes one night, and he said, Jamie, I just need to tell you, we've been friends, but you've stolen my heart, and I'll never get it back again. 2 years ago, I walked my little girl down the aisle, and Andy was standing at the front of the church, and put her hand in his hand, and I said, Andy, she's yours, pal. And about 18 months after they were married, she brought me home a little grandbaby.
We've been listening to Joe White, and that brought tears to my eyes. What a beautiful illustration. And Ryan, you interviewed Andy Brainer on Family Talk several weeks ago.
I did. It's amazing to hear this now. Andy came and talked about teens and the issue of loneliness and how a lot of these issues, in fact, the one we're talking about today in promiscuity, stems from this deep loneliness so many teens have. And it's just neat to see how history has unfolded with Joe and his daughter, Jamie Joe, and my friend Andy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's visualize now from what we just heard that Joe is there on the stage, and there are these five chairs that he's set up. And the first one represents, as we heard, a teenager's future spouse and how that individual needs to consider their choices to remain sexually pure just for that husband or wife who's going to come along down the road. The second chair symbolizes the teen's future children, and there's a great analogy there. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear about chairs 3, 4, and 5 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss it, and this is such a great message, and I think our listeners are going to want to get a CD, a copy of this program, not only for themselves, but for others. Maybe their own children.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to a group not long ago, and the issue of promiscuity came up, and I was talking to the girls, and I said, you know, somewhere out there is your future husband. And guess what? He's going to go on a date this weekend, but it's not with you. Mm-hmm. How do you want that young girl to dress? Is it okay to show a little belly? I mean, come on, it's just a little bit of belly. It's no big deal, right? You should see these girls' faces. They're angry instantly that there's some girl out there with their future husband, but it gets them in that mindset. You know, the way you dress and the way you act. I talked to the guys about it too, that some guy out there is going to take out your future wife. How do you want him to act on that date?
Oh, my goodness. You're playing hardball.
Yeah,
there, right?
I was.
Well, Dr. and Ryan, we're talking to a lot of parents who agree with your stance, Ryan, but they don't know how to convey that message to their kids. Mm-hmm. And really, Dr. Beck, to your recommendation, call us and request a complimentary CD of this that you can play with your children or be highly technical and podcast it or stream with your kids. They'll be very impressed that you know how to do that. You can do so at drjamesdobson.org. Or if you would like the CD, give us a call. Again, it's completely with our compliments. Mm-hmm. 877-732-6825. Also ask about Joe White's book on this topic. It's called Pure Excitement and delves into this topic even further.
You know, Joe White ended by talking about Andy Brainer, and Andy's written a book for parents on this subject, and it's called An Exposé on Teen Sex and Dating. That would be a really good resource for parents. And one more that, Dad, I have to let you know, gets brought up to me a lot. I meet people that are my age going, man, my parents, they took me out for a weekend and they went through the Preparing for Adolescence series. You know, it's funny for us to laugh about, but they talk about it with fondness. Mm. You know, it is an awkward topic for parents to talk to with their kids, and they need help doing it. And that resource and your book, Dad, Preparing for Adolescence, really does help parents know what to say and what questions to ask and how to convey information to their kids.
Yeah, and comparing what I wrote to Andy Brainer's book, mine is for those that are just nosing over into puberty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have not yet considered all the things that are going to happen to them in the next few months. So it is preparing for adolescence.
Right.
There is some information about sex in there, but that comes in greater detail just a little later.
Right. And Andy's book really is to tell parents what's going on in high schools, what's going on in youth culture, because a lot of them are going to be shocked by it.
Do you remember why I wrote that book? I didn't write that book to be published. In fact, it wasn't a book.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded some messages for Danae, who was 13 at the time. And our church heard about it and said, could we borrow those tapes for our junior high department? I said, sure. They did it. Then the publisher heard about it, and Preparing for Adolescence came out of that.
Well, you know why the publisher heard about it? Because it worked. because it was making a difference in parents' lives. And that's why we're here at Family Talk. We want to help you. Parenting is tough. I mean, I got a 1-year-old and a 6-year-old. It's tough. I need all the help I can get. And we want to give parents resources to help them through these tough times.
And that topic, Preparing for Adolescence, is not only a book, but the CDs are available where you can listen with your son or daughter at that time. And you can't be late with it. You get it too early or too late, you'll miss them. But you've got to have the right timing there. And listen to those recordings together. And it'll open all kinds of discussions to you.
Definitely.
Oh my, we've thrown out a lot of resources here today. If you did not catch all of those, just go online, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call, 877-732-6825. And this quick reminder that we are a listener-supported ministry here, so if there's any way you are able to stand with us financially at this time, we would greatly appreciate that.
Thanks so much for joining us, and don't miss next time when we'll hear once again from Mr. Joe White on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.